Vladimir Nabokov, Lolita. A couple of years before her life changed course forever, Sally Horner posed for a photograph. 9 years old at the time, she stands in front of the back fence of her house, a thin, leafless tree disappearing into the top right-hand corner of the frame. Tendrils of Sally's blonde hair brush her face and the top shoulder of her coat. She looks straight ahead at the photographer, her sister's husband. Trust and love for him evident in her expression. The photo has a ghostly quality, enhanced by the sepia color and the blurred focus. This wasn't the first photograph of Sally Horner that I saw, and I've seen a great many more since. But this is the one I think of the most, because it is the only photo where Sally has a child's utter lack of guile, without any idea of what horrors lie ahead. Here was evidence of one future she might have had. Sally didn't have a chance to live that one out. Florence Sally Horner disappeared from Camden, New Jersey in mid-June 1948, in the company of a man calling himself Frank LaSalle. 21 months later, in March 1950, with the help of a concerned neighbor, Sally telephoned her family from San Jose, California, begging for someone to send the FBI to rescue her. Sensational coverage and LaSalle's hasty guilty plea ensued, and the man spent the remainder of his life in prison. Sally Horner, however, had only 2 more years to live. And when she died, in mid-August 1952, news of her death reached Vladimir Nabokov at a critical time in the creation of his novel In Progress, a book he had struggled with in various forms for more than a decade, and one that would transform his personal and professional life far beyond his imaginings. Sally Horner's story buttressed the second half of Lolita. Instead of pitching the manuscript into the fire, Nabokov had come close twice, prevented only by the quick actions of his wife, Vera, he set to finish it, borrowing details from the real-life case as needed. Both Sally Horner and Nabokov's fictional creation, Dolores Hayes, were brunette daughters of widowed mothers, fated to be captives of much older predators for nearly 2 years. Lolita, when published, was infamous, then famous, always controversial, always a topic of discussion. It has sold more than 60 million copies worldwide in its 60-plus years of life. Sally Horner, however, was largely forgotten, except by her immediate family members and close friends. They would not even learn of the connection to Lolita until just a few years ago. A curious reporter had drawn a line between the real girl and the fictional character in the early 1960s, only to be scoffed at by the Nabokovs. Then, around the novel's 50th anniversary, a well-versed Nabokov scholar explored the link between Lolita and Sally, showing just how deeply Nabokov embedded the true story into his fiction. But neither of those men, the journalist or the academic, thought to look more closely at the brief life of Sally Horner. A life that at first resembled a hardscrabble American childhood, then became something extraordinary, then uplifting, and last of all, tragic. A life that reverberated through the culture and irrevocably changed the course of 20th century literature. I tell crime stories for a living. That means I read a great deal about and immerse myself in bad things happening to people, good or otherwise. Crime stories grapple with what causes people to topple over from sanity to madness, from decency to psychopathy, from love to rage. They ignite within me the twinned sense of obsession and compulsion. If these feelings persist, I know the story is mine to tell. Some stories, I've learned over time, work best in short form. Others break loose from the artificial constraints of a magazine article. Without structure, I cannot tell the story. But without a sense of emotional investment and mission, I cannot do justice to the people whose lives I attempt to recreate for readers. Several years ago, I stumbled upon what happened to Sally Horner while looking for a new story to tell. It was